Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's bring in Mitch Light from The Athletic. Mitch, hope you had a good Christmas.
I did. Hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir.
Hard to believe. Another year about to be in the books.
They're all the same length. They just seem to go by quick as we get older.
That is very true, by the way. Right now, Houston leading Auburn 10-6 in the third quarter. What do you think? It has been very interesting. How do you assess, no matter what happens in this game, obviously a loss would probably maybe change your answer a little bit. How would you assess Harsin in his first year at Auburn?
I don't think what happens today is that big of an indictment or a validation of Brian Harsin's first year. You know, like a lot of schools, they got a lot of guys missing and limited the quarterback position. You know, Bo Nix obviously transferring and got hurt before that. And, you know, TJ Finley, I don't think is necessarily their long-term answer. Not great first year. Obviously if they could have held the lead against Alabama, there's a huge difference between a 7-5 regular season and a win over Alabama and a 6-6 regular season. This team had no business losing to South Carolina, for the second year in a row. They showed some signs earlier in the year, that Penn State game, they played well and, you know, easily could have won that game, didn't. But just to lose, it's just as they lose today, five straight, and it feels there. And same thing we talk about all the time. It's just do the math in the SEC West, and not all these $4 or $5 million coaches can please their fan bases. And Auburn's one of those fan bases that doesn't expect to go 6-6. They expect to compete for division titles, and they have in the past. And they've been one of the few schools that's found ways to beat Alabama. So, you know, I think there'll be some pressure on him. They got to get the quarterback situation right. Obviously, they hired the new offensive coordinator, Austin Davis, young guy. So they've got to get the offense right. It's never a great sign when a new coach makes a change at offensive coordinator after his first season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Your overall assessment of what's really turned into National Signing Day. We know there's 2 days, but the one in February just doesn't feel the same anymore because this is where the bulk of the kids in December is when they make their decision. How did you think overall in the league, in the SEC, let's just kind of hit on some things that jumped out at you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously just another banner recruiting year for the SEC going 1-2-3 right now. And Texas A&M to me is the story nationally, you know, aside from Travis Hunter going to Jackson State, but it just saw this coming. They've improved their recruiting a little bit each year under Jimbo Fisher, just a monster year in controlling the Houston area, which is one of the most talent-rich cities in the country. Still a couple five-stars out there for them. You know, since 2010, I think it was, you know, Alabama has won the recruiting crown every year except for the 2 years which Georgia won it. So this would be the first non-Alabama or Georgia team to win the recruiting crown since 2009. So just an unbelievable job there. They got their quarterback in Connor Wegman, which, you know, every great recruiting class needs to have that quarterback that they feel good about. Now it'll be interesting to see what happens at that quarterback position next year with Zach Calzada. Moving on, Haynes King is back. See if Connor Wegman, that five-star freshman, can compete. Obviously, Alabama and Georgia coming in 2-3. That's what you'd expect there. Kentucky and Missouri, you know, in Tennessee. Tennessee closed strong. So you got Kentucky at 11. These are the 247 composite. Missouri at 12. Tennessee at 15, kind of the middle class of the SEC. We keep talking about the SEC West. Obviously, Alabama and Texas A&M doing a great job there. But those three teams in the middle of the SEC East doing a great job as well. And I think locally, you know, obviously Tennessee closing strong the way they did was very impressive. But the one thing that, you know, we always talk about this is these classes in the 15 to 10 range are good, but the amount of elite, elite prospects that the very top of the board, the Texas A&M, the Alabama, and the Georgia, those classes are getting. The amount of top 100, it's just, it dwarfs what all other classes get. So while these other programs should feel good about improving their talent level, the gap is actually not, it's getting bigger because Texas A&M, again, and Alabama and Georgia are just signing so many five stars and top 100 players.
You know, we had Eli Gold on in the first hour, and I asked him about, and I know it sounds silly, but it's just reality. Rarely do we ever talk about Alabama playing close games in the regular season, and this year they had a lot. I know they even had the hiccup, but we know the loss to A&M, but, you know, they barely got past LSU, barely got past Arkansas, barely got past Auburn. It's just unprecedented, right, to be talking about so many close games. So this Alabama team, and Eli talked about how young they are, you know, and, you know, they typically lose a lot of guys. But overall, like, what do you make of this Alabama team as they get geared up to kick off the playoffs Friday at 2:30?
Yeah, I mean, are we going to see the team that put in one of the most dominating performances against a quality opponent in the last decade, what we saw against Georgia? Are we going to see the team that struggled against Auburn? You know, just look this up. Alabama's yards per carry late in the season, 0.23 against LSU, 3.1 against Arkansas, 1.92 against Auburn. So all the questions about the offensive line and can they move the ball, all that was valid going into the Georgia game. And they didn't run it great against Georgia. Well, I guess, you know, that 4.4 against Georgia is very good. It's just the passing attack. And they were very efficient, made big plays. So what do we make? I mean, it's hard to doubt Alabama, but we really don't know. Did they find the magic formula against Georgia, or was that kind of an aberration and they're going to revert back to being a team that struggles to run the ball and you know, struggles offensively to control the line of scrimmage? So that's what, you know, I'm like everyone else, I'll pick Alabama to beat Cincinnati, but that's what's fascinating to me. Because if we see the Alabama team from late in the year, then Cincinnati can make this competitive game. If we see the performance against Georgia, then Alabama's going to win by three or four touchdowns.
Yeah. Who wins the strength versus strength battle in the nightcap in Georgia and Michigan? Michigan's strength is without a doubt running the football. One of the best teams in the country at doing that. Meanwhile, Georgia, we know about their defense. Well, they give up 9.5 points a game this season, and that's counting the Alabama game, which it was about 6 or 7 points all year, and it shot up to 9.5 points per game. So Georgia's defense against Michigan's run, I'm very intrigued to see how that plays out. How do you think it's going to play out?
Yeah, because we were surprised how Michigan dominated Ohio State. And Ohio State's not as good defensively as Georgia is. Yes, Georgia is, but they're pretty good on the defensive line, and Michigan just bullied Georgia around. The thing that Alabama can do, and they did against Georgia, which Michigan is not as proficient at, is you know, softening up that defensive line with some big plays in the passing game. Michigan has not, I just looked this up too, because, you know, we think of Michigan about not being able to have the big play on offense. Now, as far as big plays passing the ball, they were middle of the Big Ten. They weren't the bottom of the Big Ten. So they can beat you with the passing attack, but that's not really what they want to do. So to answer your question, I mean, I think that's going to decide the game. If Michigan can run the ball when Georgia knows it's going to run the ball, then they've got a very good chance. If Georgia can stop the run on first down and second down and put Michigan in third and long, then Georgia's going to win this game. So, you know, there's a lot of different things to analyze this. We talked about the Georgia quarterback and all that. But basically, if Georgia can put Michigan in some difficult third down positions, they're going to win the game.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic. What's your level of concern, Mitch, of the national champion being crowned via forfeit because of the COVID protocols?
Oh, good, fair question. No idea. I mean, it seems like that the playoff teams have done a good job of kind of insulating themselves, and that makes sense. I mean, if you know you're going to play for a national championship, you're going to be, you know, over the holidays, and I don't know how long these teams went home for. You're gonna be a lot more cautious. You might not go to your neighbor's house and hang out, or to a friend's house. But if you're playing in a bowl game, if you're playing in the Birmingham Bowl, not to knock the Birmingham Bowl, then maybe you're going to go to that party with a friend. So, you know, not surprised that, again, that the teams in the playoffs have had better success or better luck, whatever you want to say. So, you know, I obviously hope that doesn't happen. I hope a key player isn't out, because, you know, one or two key players from both in any of these four teams is really going to change the landscape of the playoffs.
They've said that they don't plan on moving anything around. I think there's a little wiggle room with the national championship game, but if they do get faced with that situation, could you see them taking an about face and actually changing it where they can play the game?
Not at this juncture. You know, that's just my view. You know, if they've said they're not going to do it, I don't see how you can say you're not going to do it and then do it. Like, what happens if it's, you know, let's say it happened to Alabama and they changed it. I mean, could you imagine the rest of the college football world outrage? Right. Oh, you just did it for Alabama. And, you know, so it's, you know, if you say you're not going to do it, you can't do it at this late juncture.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Obviously, we got a fun one that's going to take place in our city on Thursday. I got asked this question yesterday. It's a bowl game, and you know, I think people overall don't care about bowl games. But if you're Josh Heupel and you're the Vols and you know what you took over and it's the first season and it's in your home state, is there a little more pressure on him to win this game than maybe there usually would be?
I don't know if pressure is the right word. I think motivation. Like, let's be honest. In 3 years, 4 years, our opinion of Josh Heupel, this game will have nothing to do with our opinion of Josh Heupel. Like, it just won't. But in the short term, I think there's no doubt that if you want to come up with some sort of scale from motivation for teams, I think first-year coach with a 6-6 record playing in his home state, like, that's all that hits all the high notes. Obviously, because there's a big difference between 7-6 and 6-7. You're playing in front of, you know, again, your home state. You'd hope you'd still have close to 100% buy-in level on this team. So I think it's a good spot for Tennessee and not a great spot for Purdue, basically playing a road game and without its two best players. And, you know, Purdue's a pretty good football team, but teams of that level aren't loaded with elite players. Purdue has two of them, and they're not playing. So I'm not saying Purdue can't or won't win the game, but it's just a tough spot for Purdue.
I know we usually don't talk NFL with you, but I have somewhere I want to go with this. Whenever there's a college job the last few years it's been open, Matt Campbell's name gets rumored to it, and he stayed put. I'm now seeing that with the NFL. I've read a couple of and there was a report last year that I think he turned the Lions down. Could you see him, if it was the right fit, him being a fit in the NFL?
Yeah, it's a good one because some coaches you see, some coaches you don't. Some guys, you know, they're all about – like, even though James Franklin and – I know you didn't ask about him, has been rumored, not so much lately, but early in his tenure was rumored for pro jobs. Like, I think James Franklin's a really good college coach for a lot of reasons, and a lot of those reasons wouldn't necessarily make him a good NFL coach.
Right.
Matt Campbell's also a big culture guy and all that stuff, but I think he would garner respect in the locker. Like, I don't think P.J. Fleck is an NFL coach. Like, any pro NFL players would look at his row the boat, I'm not going to say the junk, and then laugh at him. Like, I think Matt Campbell has a lot of the same positive, good qualities of a P.J. Fleck, but he's not hokey. I think he's more genuine. So I could see it happening. And the thing about, you know, people say a lot of these coaches, like, okay, let's say Ryan Day leaves
right.
Ohio State at some point. He's leaving maybe a top two or three job in college football. No offense to Iowa State. I know Matt Campbell loves it there, and he's proving he can do well there. But Matt Campbell leaves and goes to the Chicago Bears and gets fired in 3 years. He'll be at the top of a list for another elite job. So he doesn't have as much him leaving would not be as much of a gamble as, like, a Ryan Day. Again, Ryan Day could find another good job, but it's not going to be Ohio State unless things got really weird. So, you know, you never know what makes a guy tick, Chase. Like, does he want to do that? But I think that's something to consider. And I don't know if he thinks like that, but, hey, if it doesn't work out for me, I'll get a really good college job. And maybe that allows him to make that move.
Okay, so Ryan Day is another one I was going to ask about because I don't know if it's just people saying, oh, well, Fields is in Chicago, it makes sense, let's just put them back together. I view him as a college coach, and again, the list of guys that have tried to make the jump and it not work is bigger than the ones that it has worked. But is he one that you think could fit in the league, especially if he were to reunite with Fields?
I think he would be a good NFL coach because I think he is – there's no BS with him. He's just a good coach. And I'm not enough of an X's and O's guy to make this claim, but people say he's, like, among the best play callers, you know, people who I respect and I read, you know, just this great job calling plays, runs a really good offense. Obviously, he has great players. The receiving core has been unbelievable. I think his demeanor So I could see him eventually. I don't think it's going to be this year for several reasons. He's got a great team next year. And I don't think any Ohio State coach in this modern era of Ohio State football wants to leave with his last regular season game getting run off the field by Michigan. You know, he hasn't won a national title. If they win a national title in the next two or three years, I would be surprised if Ryan Day didn't make a jump to the NFL at some point. I think that's in his future.
And then one more, Matt Rhule, there are rumors he's going to get fired in Carolina. Do you see him as, obviously the coaching cycle's gone through this year, but could he be somebody that is going to be at the top of a lot of lists if some big jobs open up in college football next year?
Sure. I mean, clearly did a great job at Baylor, did a good job at Temple. He's very, very well respected. I think he could probably get another NFL job. I mean, Carolina could in the modern day NFL, it's kind of hard to make an assessment of a coaching tenure when they didn't have the right quarterback. And you could blame him for some of that, but I think he would get another NFL job. And the thing that we have to consider that these guys, you know, there's rumors about guys in recruiting, but some guys just don't like to recruit. And that means they're going to stay in the NFL. So like Matt Rhule might be the greatest college coach. And I'm just not saying this is true, but if he doesn't like recruiting, then he's not going to go back to college. He's going to wait for another pro job. So I think That's one thing. And you know, with you hear the NIL stuff, recruiting, even, you know, more pressure on recruiting. Not that NFL coaches don't work every day, but college, you know, unless you're on vacation or on a beach with your family, it's literally, you know, almost a 24/7 job.
What'd you make of, by the way, as we wrap this up, George Quarles being named the head coach at ETSU?
Yeah, surprise, I guess. Now, he went right from the high school ranks, right?
Well, he had left. He was, I think, the OC at Furman.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
You know, it's a name I'd heard for years and people talking about, and then I kind of lost track of him.
He was a legend at Maryville, obviously. Yeah, they were incredible.
Yeah, right. I know who he is, and then it's sort of like I lost track of him, and I saw the headline, and I just didn't read the story. I was like, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's cool. I mean, it's you know, give him a chance to run the program. It's not as big of a risk since he is not coming right from the high school ranks there. So, obviously, that the ETSU program has done really good things. Like, what they get in the quarters this year, and then Randy Sanders retired. So it's cool. I mean, it's something to monitor. You know, like you said, legendary high school coach in the state, and you know, it'd be fun to monitor and see how he does.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool if he was able to have success there for sure. Mitch, really appreciate the visit as always. Happy New Year to you and the family, and we'll talk to you in 2022.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
Mitch Light from The Athletic. We talk to him every Tuesday on the program. Looks like they need to review this. That was a catch. I don't know if you guys are watching the Houston-Auburn game. That looked like a catch to me. They said incomplete, but looking at the replay, I don't know that it touched the ground.
White hat's running over.
They're going to go take a look at it.
He's been buzzed.
He has been. Okay, here we go. Here's the – what do you tell me?
T.J. Finley certainly didn't give him much
margin for error.
That's a catch. That ball never touches the ground. That's a catch.
That's a catch.
Yeah.
Right here. Here's the
angle. Auburn's offense is completely inept.
Oh, what a catch it was.
Yeah.
That's
a catch.
That's
a catch.
He had his hands on the ground underneath the ball. Ball never hits the ground. That's a catch.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This is going to be overturned. Should set up first and goal for Auburn. Down 10-6 with about six
now,
minutes to go.
What'd you say earlier? Letting them hang around?
Let them hang around. I'm just telling you. Houston, you had your chance to possibly put them away in the first half, and you let Auburn stick around, and now you're playing with fire. Because I do believe this is going to be called again. I don't know why they
The only thing I'm concerned about, when it bounces up and he turns over, he keeps it off. You're right.
Catch. I just called it catch. There you go. So that should be first and goal, I believe. Because they're at about first and goal from the 7 or 8 for Auburn down 10-6, 5:51 left in the third. We'll come back more here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Gary. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this rainy Tuesday. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. Auburn is just trying every way possible to give this game away. it's
I don't know if either team wants to win.
I was gonna say, you just took the words. Does either team want to win this game? I mean, so Auburn scores a touchdown. They get hit with false start, and then, you know, depending on how many times you look at now, it the more I watched it, the more that I said, okay, he did get it in. But at first, he was like so adamant that he scored on the very next play. And the first like five replays, I'm like, he did get his foot down. He did, though. So they gave him a touchdown. Auburn up 13-10, just shy or just under 4 minutes left in the third quarter. But it's been an ugly, ugly game. By the way, good crowd in Birmingham.
I've never been to that stadium, but that is a good crowd for sure. But you know, Auburn's not that far away, so
right. But I mean, you didn't know what their interest. They're 6-6. You know what I mean? Right. I didn't know what their interest level was going to be. But I mean, I guess if you live down there, I mean, what else are you going to do? Might as well go to the bowl game.
Well, because you got kids are out of school. A lot of people are off work this week. It's that awkward week in between Christmas and New Year's.
Yep.
So yeah, why not? I did a few years ago, my mom and I went to Fort Worth to see family after Christmas, and my aunt that we were staying at lived literally next door to TCU, and I walked over for the Armed Forces Bowl and nice. Paid like $10 for a ticket, and it was Jared Goff's last college game. It was Cal and Air Force.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He threw 6 touchdowns. It was ridiculous.
He was out of the game on Sunday, but has been reinstated to the Lions. He was out with COVID.
He was on the COVID list.
So we've talked a lot about this Titans game on Sunday. And by the way, if you haven't heard, Carson Wentz is unvaccinated and has tested positive for COVID. So it looks like he is going to be unavailable on Sunday, which means Sam Ehlinger, I believe, get the start, even though they have not said who's going to start.
No, but I mean, he's been the quarterback listed on the roster, and Hundley's been on the practice squad, so I would assume it's going to be Sam Ehlinger that gets it.
Of course, who was the quarterback at Texas.
Yeah.
But they play the Raiders, and the Colts were about a 7-point favorite, and it dropped to 5. This is what started this whole thing. I was watching this on Twitter because people were like, the Colts line is dropping. And it's dropping like crazy. The bottom is falling out of the line. And, of course, people are speculating. There's only two players that can make that line move like that, and that's either Wentz or Taylor. Something's up. Somebody's tested positive or both. And sure enough, it was Wentz.
It's back on the board at BetMGM.
And what is it at 5? What is it right now?
Take a guess.
Okay, so I told you whenever this was happening, it had gone from 7 to 5, and I said they would come back and readjust it to Indianapolis 3.5.
Indianapolis -1.5.
Ooh, doggy.
1.5.
Wow. So let me ask you something. Is Wentz that valuable?
I mean,
what's their strength?
Defense.
No.
Or running the ball. Yeah, running the ball.
Running the ball. Jonathan Taylor's right now with Derrick Henry on the shelf. He's the best running back in the league. I've already given you the stat. Look at Indianapolis's record. All their wins is when he goes over 100 yards. Yep. All their losses is when he's under 100 yards. Literally. Like that's an incredible stat, right? I mean, when he rushes for over 100 yards, they win the game. If he doesn't, they lose. So just get the ball to Jonathan Taylor. Like, how can that be worth – Carson Wentz is not worth 5.5 points?
Are they basing that more on Carson Wentz or on the fact that it's a rookie that's, you know, and Sam Ehlinger that they're going to have to
But Carson
play?
Wentz is not what's been winning them games.
No, I know.
He's had very pedestrian. It's the Mac Jones thing. You know, Indianapolis is like, Carson, go out there and give us like 145 yards passing and a touchdown, and, you know, we're good. We'll win. Because, yes, their defense is good. But they'll run the ball. They'll chew up the clock. Their defense is good. And they don't need much from their quarterback. So why is that 5.5 points?
Probably turning the ball over. you know, rookie quarterback is probably more prone to turning the ball over if, say, Ellinger has to throw the ball 25 times in this game, because if teams are going to sell out for the run, I mean, you're going to have to make Ellinger beat you. Wentz had a really good year in that regard. He's only turned the ball over 6 times compared to his Philly days where he did it every other play.
I can't imagine any scenario that has Sam Ellinger throwing the ball 25 times on Sunday.
If you're not getting more than a yard or two a carry, then you kind of might have to.
Well, they're toast.
But do you really expect the Raiders to
You just won the division.
Yeah, well, yeah. But 1.5. I think you're right. I mean, Sam Ellinger, if he starts, which, I mean, it's either going to be him or Hundley, he's going to have to do something, but you're basically going to ask him, hey, just don't do anything to lose the game. You know, you don't have to try super, you don't have to overdo it because you have Jonathan Taylor behind you. But, and I don't really look at the Raiders as being a team that's going to smother Jonathan Taylor. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just seeing all these players. I mean, the Titans, I don't know if you and Willie touched on it in the first hour, but, you know, the Titans have some pretty big names that have been added to the COVID list, led by Bud Dupree.
We did get into that. Bud Dupree, Julio Jones, Buster Skrine, and NWI.
Yeah. Two receivers. I mean, say what you want about Julio. He was at least in the lineup, and so now you got to replace two receivers, which they've been doing all year. So,
as I've said in this game, Auburn just – they one step forward, two steps back. They just picked off Houston, smoke Monday, smoke somebody. The problem is he smoked him in the head.
Can't do that.
And he gets hit with targeting. He's out of the game.
He's a good player for them.
Well, now he's out.
Yeah.
And by the way, he did. It was helmet to helmet.
Was that it too? Was that his last game? Is he done?
It might be, because he was making his 50th appearance in an Auburn uniform.
Yeah, I would say he's done.
I'd say he's done.
That'll what a name.
That'll smoke do it for Monday. Smoke. Smoke is out of there.
This team has a Smoke Monday and a Tank Bigsby. You cannot top the name power on this Auburn team.
You cannot beat that. So, yeah. So, rank the order of Bud Dupree, Julio Jones, Buster Skrine, and NWI, 1 through 4, because that's who they put on the COVID list, the Titans, yesterday. How do you rank of importance?
Dupree is 1 by a landslide.
But that's right. We all can agree on that. So I should have said 2 through 4, because we all know Bud Dupree is 1.
Yeah.
So who's 2 through 4?
Honestly, for 2, I'd probably go in.
What you dishonestly lie to me.
Okay, then Julio Jones. I would go NWI. I mean, he's done more than Julio Jones has.
I don't know why you're like NWI.
No, I would go. I would go NWI.
I would too.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you right now.
Skrine would be third.
NWI, Buster Skrine, and Julio Jones. That's my order.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. Dupree, NWI, Skrine, Julio.
I've said it. Julio Jones is a non-factor, this team.
Nope.
I mean, if you want to keep trotting him out there as
the decoy.
As a decoy, then fine. I mean, but in my book, decoys aren't worth more value than what NWI or Buster Skrine bring to the table. You're getting more out of them. Julio Jones is just a body. He's just a name. That's it. He's a non-factor for this team. And he's going to be a non-factor moving forward. He just is. And I cannot believe that we agree on this, because if you would have said this at the beginning of the year, I mean, we'd have been laughed off the air. I mean, but it's just the truth. That's where we are going into Week 17. Like, Julio Jones, give me a break. Like, everybody's wondering, is he going to be active? Is he going to play? Is he going to practice? You think he's going to be upright and they're going to scratch it? Who cares?
He ain't done
anything. That's my answer. Who cares? Like, I'm done trying to figure out whether Julio Jones is going to play or not. Who cares? We know he's not this week, but, I mean, who cares? Well, okay, his hamstring. He's got to sit out a week. Okay, Well, great. He's done that all year. And by the way, when he does suit up and play, most of the time he doesn't finish. And when he does finish, he's a non-factor.
What I'm doing, if I'm the Titans, I'm going down to the Maxwell House Hotel right there by the facility. I'm gonna rent a whole floor full of rooms. Tannehill gets one. Then on down the hall, A.J. Brown gets one. You take some other players. They stay in their rooms. You know, they're very nice. And you just leave them there until game time. That's what I care about, because Julio has done nothing. Julio doesn't matter. You obviously, you know, don't want to see him get sick, but he has not been a factor. Now the concern is, okay, you got two receivers that are already on there. Are there going to be more, you know, this afternoon when they send that stuff out? And it scares me to death that A.J. Brown's going to be one of them, if there are more. Because when you see you know, a couple of guys from the same position, you should, you know, that's when you get worried. It's like we saw with the Predators. It was a lot of the forwards. Well, now, you know, you got Yossi that's a defenseman. Does that mean you're going to get more defensemen that it hits?
Yeah. Yeah, right now you've got Roman Yossi, Colton Sissons, and Tommy Novak on the Predators COVID list.
Yep.
But, man, saying that out loud, and I don't even hesitate, that just goes to show you, like, how wrong I was when I was like, yeah, go for it. Go get Julio Jones.
I was too.
Trade for him. Sure.
I think all three of us said it.
Yeah.
Go get him.
We did. But gosh, he's just not a zero factor. And I don't even know if it's going to change. I know. I don't even know. I hope that this is just a one-year thing and next year it's completely different, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what he dealt with last year with Atlanta.
They can't get rid of him. I mean, well, they can, but it doesn't do him any good.
No. No, you just have to hope that, you know, he can get better from it. And, you know, then you have to have the realization of, because he's going to be, what, 33? That he's not going to be the same guy he was. That you just need him to be, you know, good. He didn't have to be elite, but just have him be good. He hadn't even been good because he hadn't been on the field. You know, you're going to have an overpriced good receiver, but that's what you signed up for. So you just have to take what you can get at this point.
Right now, until Derrick Henry comes back, I mean, I get it. You want Ryan Tannehill because you don't want Woodside starting these games, but I mean, okay, so Tannehill's in the discussion too, but did you just say Tannehill and A.J. Brown, or were you listing others? Like, I would literally have A.J. Brown.
To lock them in a room?
Yeah. I would tell A.J. Brown, like, I'm sorry, you are confined to this.
Tannehill and A.J. Brown, for sure. Because, yep. I mean, the starting quarterback, you know, goes without saying. But
like,
you can't lose
A.J. Brown.
No.
Like, you can't.
No,
it's the only chance your offense has got.
I'd throw Jeffrey Simmons in that too. And I can't keep up who's
not
been
to
on
that,
the list.
Not to the level of those two. I mean, I think, honestly, A.J. Brown right now is uno. He's number uno right now.
No, he's number 11. But
well.
He used to be number one.
He did.
In college.
He is.
No, I agree.
Like, he's the guy that you can't lose. Like, you can't.
You cannot
lose.
He is. Like, it's crazy to say this. Derrick Henry's the most important player on the team because he's the catalyst. But it's like we've been saying, they were able to run the ball. Not to the same effect that Henry does, but they've been able to run the ball. They haven't done crap through the passing game until A.J. Brown came back. Like, so that is the level of importance that he has. And if you want to beat Miami, which they should beat Miami on Sunday, you got to have 11 in the lineup. Just have to.
It's the only chance they have of scoring any points. We realize 13 is not a good number for them.
No.
13 has been a losing formula. So you better get more than 13 points. Can't get it done on just 13 points. Although what I saw out of Miami last night wasn't that blown away.
No. I mean, listen, we had fun at my expense. it's impressive they've won seven in a row, but the Titans are a much better team, bottom line.
What is the line on that game? My guess is it's probably, see, it's here, Titans by four.
You're close, 3.5.
3.5, okay.
Yep.
It's about right on it.
Yeah, there's some, this is an interesting week for the NFL. Like, I'm intrigued by Kansas City, Cincinnati. I think that could be a good game. Bengals getting 5.5. You have Miami, Tennessee. We've talked about the Colts and the Raiders. The Eagles and the football team. Eagles only a 4-point favorite on the road. The Rams are a 3.5-point favorite on the road in Baltimore. So, a couple of intriguing matchups.
Apparently, Phillip Rivers is going to sign a 1-week contract in quarterback for him this week.
Quarterback for the Colts?
Colts, yep.
You're kidding, right?
Well, I just think it's kind of odd that yes, I'm kidding, but you didn't, you know, you're like, you don't know if I'm kidding or not.
Well, here's why. Because they talked about it on Monday Night Football that the Saints reached out to Drew Brees and asked if he would be interested in coming back.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. That he politely declined, but they did reach out to him and said, would you consider coming back?
Jeff Duncan reported that last week as soon as they knew that Hill and Simeon were going on the list. They reached out to Drew Brees.
Which, why would
was it a one-off? Just a one-week deal?
Yep, that's kind of what it sounds like, was that it was kind of just like a one-week deal or until they can get everybody
How
back.
Could you realistically expect somebody to do that, though? Hasn't been in football shape all year, hasn't practiced. I mean, sure, he knows the offense and can walk right in and run it, but
with the way that offensive line played, he would have died in that game.
Right. I mean, now, if it's – I mean, really, any sport, I can't see that being, you know, something that you could do, but – especially the NFL, just with how complicated it, you know, these offenses are and how physical it is. I don't see it. I mean, he wouldn't have been ready to play by last night. It's just unrealistic.
And he hasn't been doing any weightlifting.
Oh.
He's been growing his hair back. He's got to put the helmet back on, and it erases all that progress.
Yeah,
that's an easy no.
Yeah, that's an easy no.
Growing his hair back. Did Jason Witten go to the same person?
Wow. A flea flicker by Houston. Almost picked off. Auburn up 13-10 with 13.5 to go in the game. We'll come back, put a bow on Tuesday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next. Well, college basketball in the SEC is supposed to start conference play, but Florida and Ole Miss will not tomorrow night. That game has been postponed. So I guess Florida basketball being hit with COVID. So Florida, Ole Miss, tomorrow night postponed. Is it Tennessee playing Alabama?
Supposed to.
Key phrase.
Which
supposed
should be
to.
A really good game. A really good game. But we'll see. I mean, college basketball is definitely dealing with this right now.
Yeah, MTSU postponing both of their games
this
week.
Their next two games, yep.
Which makes life as the PD a little more difficult now, but that's okay. Have to change some things around. That's all right. That's the world in which we live.
It is. As the wind howls.
Yeah, it's been beating up against the window here in the studio throughout the show. So I know we could have some bumpy weather later in the week tomorrow. Hopefully it's good on Thursday for the Music City Bowl.
Have you watched any of the Tom Brady stuff yet on ESPN Plus, since you're a big ESPN Plus guy?
Yes, I've watched. I'm not through the latest episodes, but I've started it when it came out and then have watched Hard Knocks and kind of been bouncing around, catching up on that. But I think it's really well done. I think it's a cool thing.
Okay, I have not seen them. I see them run promos all the time.
I recommend it. I think you'd like it.
And I have it currently because some of the games, Preds games, have been on there, so I've paid for it, so I've got it. And I've been meaning to go check it out because they've done – what, 6-7 episodes right now they've released?
Yeah. And it's like a really cool look at, you know, his career to this point. But I recommend it. Like the one, like Moss is in it, you know, talking about that, and that there's stuff that you don't know about. Like that Moss, when Moss was wanting to get out of Oakland, he went to wherever the Patriots were and like talked to Brady and was like, "Hey, I want to play with you." It was tampering. It was big time tampering, but it was that kind of started the groundwork of Randy Moss telling Brady that he wanted to play with him.
Hmm.
So
that stuff never goes on.
No, you know? Never.
Players never talk about playing with each other.
I will never forget. I asked Floyd one time, I think we were sitting at dinner at a combine, and I said, "So does the tampering stuff really happen as much as you might think it does?" And he just started laughing.
Let me guess, he just laughed.
Yep. And then he said, "Oh bleep yeah."
Code for yes. Anytime Floyd Reese would laugh, code word yes.
And he, to his point, I mean the combine, a lot of it happens there,
of course,
because everybody's together. I'll never forget the first time I went to the baseball winter meetings out at Opryland. Like the agents that I saw, like talking to each other, and GMs, and just those kind of conversations that you would see at just random parts of the hotel. Like, and then you see that at other league events, like the combine or whatever. I mean, that's honestly what makes a lot of it happen. Like, you have to have those deals. If everybody, you know, adhere to the rules of, no, this is the schedule in which you can talk, I mean, it would be much less exciting.
Yeah. Much less eventful, that's
yes.
for sure.
You telling me these deals that are done at midnight at the first day of free agency weren't conjured up in 45 seconds?
I know, right?
Well, I mean, that's the whole reason this window came into play.
Legal tampering.
I mean, I think it's truly because of Albert Haynesworth's deal.
Yeah.
I believe that's what set all this in motion. Because, I mean, it happened like at 12:02. And it's like, really?
Yep.
You came up with a $80 million deal or whatever he got, I mean, the ridiculous amount of money he got from Washington. You came up with that in 2 minutes? Wow. Okay, good for you. David Poyle was on with us in the second hour, and he pretty much hinted that Matt Duchene was set for a return. And if you look at what they just did, they have assigned, and you asked about Cody Glass to David, they have assigned him to Milwaukee. So that seems, to me, it seems like that is, Matt Duchene is going to be playing tomorrow night. In fact, he even said, back with Forsberg and Johansson.
Yeah. And they,
or no, it was, sorry, Granlund.
They've recalled Olivier from the taxi squad. To the active roster.
That's correct. So it does look like all signs are pointing towards they're going to get this game, hopefully get this game off tomorrow night, get things cranked back up. That'll be 12 days the Predators have been off since their last win, which was 7 in a row in Chicago in OT, the Tanner Jeannot game winner in OT. So we'll see if they can indeed get things going tomorrow night. If everything goes as planned, it's tomorrow night in Washington at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5. Same deal on Thursday, but in Columbus, same time, different place. And then New Year's Day, matinee hockey here in Smashville to start off 2022. Isn't that hard to believe? Like Saturday?
You Saturday. And I get to hang out.
Well, that's the plan. It's the plan as they host the Blackhawks. On New Year's Day at 1 o'clock, which I absolutely love. All for a 1 o'clock New Year's Day game. Which is interesting because the Winter Classic is St. Louis and Minnesota.
Right? No, they usually don't have a game like
that's what I'm getting
at. But I think the Winter Classic is that night. I think they've reversed it, which I never understood why they wouldn't play it at night anyway.
Well, and that's fine. But you're right. I'm with you on that. But I don't. But they've never had another game.
Yeah, they have.
Always what have they?
When the Predators were in it, they had a game that night.
Did they really?
Yeah. I think it was a West Coast game.
When they played the Stars?
Yep.
They played another game that night.
Yep.
Huh. We wouldn't know because we were out.
But, I mean, the difference here is there's a full schedule. I mean, not a full, but a pretty heavy schedule on the first.
Hmm.
Now, the Winter Classic is the last game that night on TNT, but you got Buffalo, Boston, Montreal, Florida, Carolina, Columbus, Chicago, Nashville, Edmonton, Islanders, and then St. Louis, Minnesota in the Classic.
There you go. That'll do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your rainy, windy Tuesday. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.